It sounded great. Boy, didn't the children do a wonderful job. Boy, my heart was blessed. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. Enjoyed the singing and the truths that they shared. And you know, for Christians, Christmas is more than a season. Now, the world celebrates a season, but if you're saved tonight, you ought to celebrate a Savior. Amen? And there's a vast difference in that. Matter of fact, the world is just another opportunity to do what they do. But for us, it's an opportunity to reflect, to think, to meditate, to draw close to God, to spend time with family, friends, those that are close to us. But when you study the Bible, you're going to find that the kids shared a verse that spoke to my heart 700 years before Jesus was ever born. God promised His Son. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Do you realize that one sentence teaches two tremendous truths that every Christian ought to remember, that every person ought to understand at Christmas? Number one, a child is born. That speaks to us of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a man, and that He was a child that would be born. But then notice He also says in the same sentence, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That speaks to us of His deity. That reminds us that Jesus Christ is God. It one links Him to the earth and tells us that He's the Son of Man. The other links Him to heaven and tells us He's the Son of God. One tells of His earthly beginning, the other of His eternal being. One tells us He's the babe of Bethlehem, the other He's the God of glory. One tells us of His perfect humanity, the other of His eternal deity. Somebody said the great mystery of the manger is that God would be able to translate deity into humanity without either discarding the deity or distorting the humanity. The miracle of the virgin birth, that God would become man, that God would visit this world. Do you realize that this world wasn't looking for a Savior? But aren't you glad that God in grace and mercy gave us one anyway? Amen? He knew what our need was. But then not only do I see something of the nature, but I want you to talk to you a moment, and I just want to share about a name. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I like that because it's interesting. He didn't say His names shall be called, but His name. That these are adjectives. They are adjectives to describe who He is. That He's wonderful. You know, I thought about that name. It means marvelous. It means astonishing. It means extraordinary. Do you know that everything about Jesus Christ is marvelously wonderful? I thought about that. He's wonderful in His birth. Do you know that Jesus was born as no other man was born? Conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, announced by angels, humble shepherds with haste, ran to worship Him in His manger. Wise men led by His star set out in search of a newborn king, presenting Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we find that no one was ever born like Jesus was. Matter of fact, you say, "Preacher, why in the world was He born in obscurity?" I believe that God placed Him in a manger, making Him accessible to all mankind. You see, if He was born in the palace of kings and aristocracy, those of us who are just common, ordinary people, we wouldn't think that we would have any claim on a Savior like that. But I'm glad He was one of us. What about you? One of us. He came in obscurity, but yet He's the very King of glory. He's wonderful in His birth, but then He's wonderful in His life. Not only was He born as no other man was born, He lived as no other man lived. Matter of fact, He astonished the world with His words as those who came to arrest Him one day said, "Never a man spake like this man." Nobody's ever told us what Jesus says. Did you know that? Nobody's ever spoke like He spoke. As a matter of fact, can I tell you, in that day, no one ever thought of a God loving them. Nobody ever thought in terms of God being their Father, but yet Jesus came and spoke to us of the Father, of a God who wanted to have a relationship with men through His Son. He came to tell us that God loved the world, that He so loved the world that He would send His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him, receive Him, know Him, would not perish but have everlasting. Nobody spake like Jesus spoke. You realize that more books and songs and plays and dramas have been written about the life of Jesus than they have any other person in history. But not only astound us with His words, He astounded us with His works. As a matter of fact, Acts 10:38, the Bible said He went about doing good. Isn't it amazing that Peter, when he was talking about the life of Jesus, summed it up in just a simple phrase, He went about doing good. But all what was in that phrase, that He would cause the lame to leap and the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. He would heal the sick and raise the dead to life again. He would turn water into wine, or what we would know as grape juice. He stilled the raging seas. He fed thousands with handfuls of bread and a few fishes. Matter of fact, John at the very end of his gospel would say something like this. He said if everything Jesus ever said and everything Jesus ever did was written down, that even the books, the world, wouldn't contain the books that should be written. He said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Friend, nobody lived like Jesus lived, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. But then I thought about how He's wonderful in His life. He was wonderful in His birth, but He was wonderful in His death. But you know, when I think about His death, it was a very vicious death. Matter of fact, He died as no other man died. The Bible said that His visage, His facial and form, His facial features and form was so marred more than the sons of men that He was barely recognizable as humans, as human. And as sinful men would take out the very enmity that's in the heart of man toward God, and they would beat Him and spit upon Him and rip His beard out and place a crown of thorns upon His head. Then they would take Him out and nail Him to a cross where He would hang there for 6 grueling hours. Matter of fact, the prophet said that we would think that He was dying for His own sins, but in reality, He was dying for our sins. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You know, that's the greatest message about Christmas. We all have tradition. And that was what the program was about tonight, was Christmas tradition. And we all have them. I mean, whether we eat pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, I'm a sweet potato guy myself. Whether we have mashed potatoes with gravy or stuffing or whatever it is that's special, maybe you have sweet potato casserole, but there's something that you have at your house, or how you put up a tree, or when you put up your tree, or when you take down your tree, or whatever it is that you do that is tradition in your family. Well, one of ours is that we started when our children were real young, and probably many of you do the same thing. We would read the passages in the Scriptures about the birth of Jesus. But can I remind us this year that it would be more than just reading the Scriptures, but it would be understanding them. It would be reflecting on them. It would be worshiping Him as we reflect on the goodness and the greatness of our God, that Jesus Christ would die a substitutionary, sacrificial death for my sins and your sins. Wonder of wonders, how can it be that God was incarnate, given for me? The Almighty came down and dwelt among men. Wonder of wonders, He died for my sin. I'd heard about it all my life, but it wasn't until I was 17 years old that I made that truth my very own. Have you made that truth your own tonight? Maybe you've known about it all your life. Maybe you've heard about it, came to place, whatever it was, learned verses in Sunday school. But you know, the most important thing is that you know Him by faith. Wonderful in His birth. Wonderful in His life. Wonderful in His death. But I'm glad it doesn't stop there. What about you? He's wonderful in His resurrection. He did what no other man has done or can do. You say, preacher, what is it? He got up from the dead 3 days later. See, I have a living Savior tonight. My Savior's alive. The Creator God of the universe that gave His life for my sins was buried, and 3 days later He walked out of a tomb in resurrection power. And the Bible said, behold, He is alive forevermore. You say, preacher, how do you know He's alive? Because He lives in my heart. Oh, the Bible teaches it. History records it. But friend, can I tell you, I've experienced the fact of a living Savior. Aren't you glad today that we're not worshiping a babe in a manger, but we're worshiping a living Lord that's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven? Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm glad that not only is He wonderful in His birth, wonderful in His life, wonderful in His death, wonderful in His resurrection, but He's wonderful in His return. You see, the good news is that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Christ of Christmas promised that if He would go away, He would come back again. He said to them as they watched Him ascend from the Mount of Olives, He said, the angels said to Him, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven?" He said, "This same Jesus which you have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner." Friend, the promise of the Scriptures is that Jesus Christ will come again. And friend, the most important thing is that we know Him, that we're ready when that time comes. I'm glad that He's wonderful tonight, aren't you? But He can be even more wonderful if you don't know Him, for you to come to know Him tonight. Maybe that's been in your heart. Maybe you've been burdened about that. Maybe you've been wondering about where you would spend eternity. Well, He's wonderful in salvation, for He says, "Whosoever will, let him come." The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart matter. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called? I'm glad I called. And I'm glad tonight that you can call upon Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.